Thank you. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. This morning, I announced that tonight I was going to preach on the subject of prophecy about America. Prophecy about America. And that's what I'm going to do. I want us to start in Psalm chapter 22. Once you've found it, why don't you stand with me? Psalm chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 27 and 28. We'll use these to get us started tonight. Psalm chapter 22, verse 27 and 28. And the Bible says this: All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I feel so inadequate to teach on prophecy. You're the only one that knows everything that's going to happen. We try hard to understand it. May I not confuse anyone tonight, but might we all leave this property understanding a little more about our future and our concern, of course, about our country and what is forthcoming. Bless me with the attention of the people. And God, I'm going to give you my attention. Help my weakness not to hinder your mighty power and what you want to accomplish. I surrender myself just a tool in the Master's hand. I pray, God, that my voice will be used to help us to learn the Bible tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. I'm going to read again very quickly these two verses. And just so you know, these verses, they're prophetic verses, if you will. The Bible says, All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is a governor among nations. I thank God that someday he's going to rule and reign, and everything, again, will be under his administration. I'm going to read a verse to you. Listen to it very carefully. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says this: The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. Now, folks, let me explain something about prophecy. Nobody will understand all of the Bible. Now, God allows us to understand it, but you must understand our God is an awesome God. He's far deeper and far more capable than what we would ever imagine. And he's going to let us see some things in the Bible. And there's enough in there for us to understand and live to keep us busy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of our life. And we will have only scratched the surface of what's in this book. But I want you to know, I approach the teaching on prophecy in a very timid way. You say, why? I've heard some great, great men teach on prophecy and say some things that didn't turn out the way they said. And so when Mickey Mantles are not doing well when they teach on prophecy, Mickey Mouse knows to be careful. I mean, when the greats can't figure it all out, the not so great better be extra, extra careful. And so I will be extra careful. And so, you know, at the end of the night, if you say to me, Preacher, I disagree with you on that. I disagree with me on that, too. There's some of it I can't figure out totally and for sure. And anybody in here that's ever studied any prophecy, if you thought that you understood, you probably didn't. And everybody says, I wonder what that really means. And so, stick with me. I want to try to show you some things. When we speak of prophecy, we speak of things to come in the future. God tells us many things about the future. Some things are specific and easy to understand. Other things are not specific and are a little more difficult to understand. Typology in the Bible is a risky thing. You know, people say, well, it said this and that's a type of this. I've never found the book in the Bible called the Book of Types. And so because of that, I'm not sure that all typology is exactly right. You say, well, when are we going to learn it? Well, when we get to heaven, we'll have the Master teach everything. The Jesus Christ, the Word of God, will clear it all up. And then you'll all find out I was right, and it's all going to turn out just fine. But no, I'm telling you, it's a touchy thing. There are a few things that the future and that America's future holds that I'm sure of. and they're going to impact America in a great, great way. Now, stay with me. We'll get to some things that maybe some might call a little deeper, but if you'll listen to me, I want to show you some things that I know are going to affect America. For instance, there's a thing coming called the rapture. That's prophecy, so you know. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." That's our nursery's theme verse. We shall all be changed. It goes on to say, "At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The Bible talks about the last trump, and the dead and the living shall rise. Now, so you understand, that is a prophecy that's going to affect the United States of America. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter." It's talking about a trumpet talking, saying, "Come up hither." Now, the rapture is when Jesus is going to come. He's going to snatch the Christians out of this life and going to take them to heaven. I had a Bible someone that studied the Bible a lot. I think he considered himself a theologian. But he said to me, he said, you use the word rapture. He said the word rapture is nowhere to be found in the Bible. I said, I know. I said, you just use the word Bible, and the word Bible is nowhere found in the Bible. He said, well, I never thought about that. I said, well, won't you think about that instead of what I'm doing wrong? The word rapture is from a Greek word, arapio, which means a snatching away. That's all that it means. But there's coming a day when Jesus is going to snatch us out of this mess and take us to heaven. Okay? That's a prophecy. Now, that's one that I know is going to affect us then. Secondly, someday the people of America will bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, that's a prophecy too. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." One day, America will bow. And that's a prophecy. Revelation chapter 15, verse number 4 says, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Here, again, it says all nations will worship. Willingly or unwillingly, they're all going to do it. And it's going to be on their knees. So understand, the prophecy of the rapture is going to affect America. The prophecy of every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, that prophecy is going to affect America. There's another. This country will experience a place called hell if she does not get saved. I'll explain that. Don't let that trouble you, but listen to the verse. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Now, America has become religious, but not saved. Okay? When it says the nations there, you say, preacher, if America ends up being cast into hell, does that mean I'll go to hell? No saved people go to hell. But when a nation being turned into hell, it means there were more lost people than there were saved people in that nation. So the high percentage of people going to hell, it's as if that nation is being cast into hell. This is not teaching that you're going to lose your salvation. This is not teaching that if the nation goes bad that you have to go to hell. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the scripture says that you can't lose your salvation. The scripture says that. So scripture backs the teaching that saved people in a lost nation get to go to heaven. But the mass of the people will go to hell. But so you know, that's a prophecy. It's a prophecy that nations will be turned into hell. And if America doesn't turn back to God, America will be one of those nations that will be, because of percentages, it'll be said that she was cast into hell. Now, some of the other major books that provide prophecy for us, the book of Revelation, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Daniel, and there are others. I'm going to give you a very quick prophecy timeline. In other words, an order of events, a chronological order of events as to what's forthcoming. I'm not going to teach on all of it. I'm just going to give you a very quick timeline. There was Calvary. We all know about Calvary. You can go to John 19 and John 20. Did you know that Calvary, when Jesus was crucified, was prophesied in Deuteronomy 21, 23? All the way back in the Old Testament, it talked about the Savior coming and Him being crucified and not a bone of His being broken and His blood being shed. So it was prophesied and it came to pass. The local New Testament church age, it's spoken about in the book of Acts. The restoration of Israel as a nation takes place in Ezekiel 37 as a prophecy. We'll turn to that a little later on. Then comes the rapture. So understand this, and I'll say this later. Israel needed to become a nation again, which it did. The very next thing on God's calendar of events is the rapture. The rapture is predicted in Philippians 3:21. Then the judgment seat of Christ will come. That's Titus 3:8. The prophecy then of the marriage supper of the Lamb. You find that in Matthew 26:29. Then Jesus comes back again to set up His kingdom. That's actually the second coming, if you will, of Jesus. That's prophesied in Zechariah 12:10. There's 7 years of tribulation. It's spoken about in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Then comes the battle of Armageddon. It's prophesied in Psalm chapter 2. The judgment of the living nations is prophesied in Matthew 25, verse 31. Or actually, chapter 31 all the way through chapter number 46. A 1,000-year reign and a kingdom is prophesied in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. A great white throne judgment is prophesied in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. The new heaven and the new earth is spoken of in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 and on. You say, preacher, you've already said something I disagree with. I wouldn't argue with you about it for a moment. There's some things about prophecy that I think God just wants us to believe He's going to do what He said, and we ought to just do everything we can to get people saved and do the right thing until He gets here. There are people out there that fuss about prophecy all the time. You know what I think they ought to do? I think they ought to get their Bible out and go soul winning and keep somebody out of hell instead of spend all their time trying to prove how bright and how smart they are. Now, those are some general things, and I've given you a lot on prophecy already. I've given the entire timeline from Calvary all the way to the point where there's the new heaven and the new earth. But what I want to do is I want to talk to you a little more about our country and all of those things. Every bit of what I just told you affects America. Calvary affected America. The age that started the local New Testament church and the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ all the way through the new heaven and new earth, that affects America. Because that affects me and you. We are Christians first. We are Americans second. And all of that's going to affect us. Now, I want you to get your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter 50. And I need you to turn quickly. And I'm going to have you keep your Bible open. And we're going to glance at some scripture. But we're going to have to work at it. And I don't get paid by the hour, so we don't have to worry. I could stay till midnight. Now, most of you wouldn't like that. And so I need you to kind of turn quickly and stay with me, but I want to show you some things. I want to show you America, or at least what I think America, where America is mentioned in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. Verse number 12. Obviously, we're going to see some characteristics of our country all the way back in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah chapter 50, verse number 12, I'm going to read out loud. You follow along silently. It says, "Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert." Now look back at me. The nation mentioned here has a mother country. Notice it said, "Your mother shall be sore confounded." America's mother country is what? England. Now, many people that study the Bible, and I happen to think there's a good chance this is in reference to the United States of America, because we have a mother country. That mother country is England. By the way, it said there, at some point, our mother shall be sore confounded and she'll be ashamed. Could you pick any time in history that our mother country, England, might be disappointed in what we did over here? Didn't we go through a war with them? Now, that matches up pretty good. Pretty good. When we separated from them, I'm sure they became ashamed of those of us that came here for our religious freedom. All right, now, notice in that very same scripture, notice it says the hindermost of the nations. Now look at me and let me tell you what I think that means. Do you realize that America is one of the last nations to be born? There's not been many nations formed thereafter. We're a baby. We're a younger nation. Matter of fact, we are only 237 years old. Other nations have been around for 5 and 10 times longer than us. So there's a good chance that this scripture, let's read it again after what I've said to you, and you see if you can see America a little bit in Jeremiah 50 verse 12. Your mother shall be sore confounded. Okay, we have a mother nation. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Our mother country was ashamed when we separated from her for our freedom's sake. Behold, the hindermost of the nations, and we are one of the youngest nations to be born, shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Now, let's go on. We're going to see the possibility of the theme of America showing up in the book of Jeremiah as we go on. Look at verse number 16 of Jeremiah chapter 50. I'll read it. It says this, cut off the sower from Babylon. And so you know right now, look back at me. Now we're going to see, I believe there's a chance that something happening with Babylon is comparable to America and, if you will, a typology. And I'm not real hip on that. They still use the word hip. I'm not real excited about that. But I really believe Babylon mentioned here is mentioned, and we could almost slide America into this slot. Now I'll read it again. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handeth the sickle in his time of harvest, for fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land. Now look back at me. Babylon is mentioned here, I believe, in comparison. The people of Babylon were a people gathered from many other countries. America is also a country that is made up of people from other countries. Very few people would be considered Native Americans. See, and it says here, notice that it said they shall turn everyone to his people and they shall flee everyone to his own land. In fear of persecution, I think there'll come a time when people will be leaving America to go back to some of their home countries because they will be persecuted in America. You say, what for? Their religion. America, once a land of freedom, a freedom of religion, it's now becoming a land of religious persecution. Did you know that the Bible is allowed in the public schools in the Philippines? Do you know there are some countries that have more religious freedom than the United States of America? I could see someone that would say, you know what, I have more religious freedom in the Philippines than I do in America, and I could see someone say, I'm going home. Why? Well, in this passage of Scripture, it tells us that they shall turn everyone to his people, and they shall flee everyone to his own land. Now, that was Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 16. We've seen the comparison four verses earlier in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 12. You remember the young lion, where it talked about the hindermost parts of the nations. So I believe we have a theme carrying through Jeremiah chapter 50. I believe we're seeing America here in Jeremiah 50. Now, take your Bible and look at Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 16. Oh, I'm sorry, not verse 16, verse 37. Jeremiah 50, verse 37, it says, a sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. And they shall become as women, as swords is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. Now, look back at me. Here it talks about a sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots. Whatever country this is talking about a well-armed country. Now, America's pretty well-armed. You say, how well-armed? Well, all the other countries know we'll slap them down if they get out of hand. That's pretty well armed. Now, notice also it says a mingled people. We use the description of America as America is the melting pot of the world. And again, we're still in Jeremiah 50. Are you noticing the familiarities between what's happening here and the countries or the typologies that God used in Jeremiah? It matches up real close with the United States of America. No nation in the world is as much a mingled people as we are. Matter of fact, we have an illegal alien problem now. Currently, the government says, because this is a political issue, the government says there's 11 million illegal aliens in our country. The others, who are not interested in getting into office, say there's 20 million. The Bible calls it mingled people. Okay, and I'm beginning to think there's a possibility God is showing us in the book of Jeremiah a country that would be born of England that would have these things happening. Now, look at Jeremiah chapter 50, verse number 26. It says, come against her from the utmost border, open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps, and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Now, did you know, first of all, not all of America's borders are together. Hawaii is disconnected. Alaska is disconnected. We don't have four borders. You have the entire state of Alaska is so far out there, and it talks about somebody being able to easily get to some of our borders. Now, I happen to believe, and some of you know about the world wars, Hawaii was in danger, and when Pearl Harbor was bombed, we were easy to get to. And they hurt America that way. Now, notice in that verse it talks about our storehouses. Folks, do you understand how rich a nation America is? Okay, let's take the storehouses. Let's go oil and look at Alaska. The Alaskan pipeline. There are solutions to the cost of fuel in America. We can take care of ourselves. We are a rich, rich country. And I believe, again, this verse in Jeremiah 50:26 is probably about America. Now, we're going to go to Jeremiah 51, which is just the very next chapter. We'll see another similarity. Jeremiah 51, verse number 7. And it says, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. Look back at me for a second. Remember, I think there's a good chance that Babylon here is kind of paralleled. There was something going on in Babylon in the day and age that this was written, but I think it's paralleled as a prophecy for America. So, again, we could almost stick America where the word Babylon is here. I read it again, Jeremiah 51:7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Hey, God has used America and her golden cup to spoil the other nations of the world. And the other nations in the world have been spoiled by us. I realize that we've had some economic issues in the last many years, and we've lost our grip economically in the world, but we're still a very, very powerful country. And you wouldn't believe how many countries out there have an economy because of us. We used our money to feed and protect other countries for years. I think we could be the golden cup that's being mentioned here. I mean, we kept Haiti alive, and Mexico received food, and Somalia and Rwanda and all the foreign aid that we send out. And the Bible says the earth is drunken. In other words, spoiled silly by the kindness of whatever this country is. Boy, in this day and age, I can't think of a country that spoils other countries more than America. Now, let's move on. In each verse that I see more similarities to America. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse number 13. Jeremiah 51:13. It says this, O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. Now, let me point out three or four things about this. Whatever country this is, if it is a prophetic country, it's surrounded by many waters. Now, let's see. We have the Pacific Ocean to our west, the Gulf of Mexico is south, the Atlantic Ocean to the east, the Arctic Ocean, and the Bering Sea. We're pretty well surrounded by water. Some parts of our country are totally surrounded by water. Hawaii is totally surrounded by water. Alaska's virtually a peninsula. And then notice here, it speaks of our treasures. America is a rich country. Folks, do you realize the poorest people in America are richer than the richest people in other countries? People on welfare here do better than people that are what we would call upper crust in some other countries. And so we see abundant treasures. Again, that reminds me of America. Then it says there, O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasure, thine end is come, and thy measure of thy covetousness. Now, you understand America is a very covetous nation. You want to know why we had the economic failure in our country we did in the last many years? America had borrowed more than she could pay back. She wanted and wanted and wanted and wanted, and we just kept on getting and getting and getting. You know, usually, sooner or later, you got to pay for all that. And covetousness is a sin. But America may be the most covetous nation in the world. Look at everything we have. How many countries can you go to where they've got two and three and four cars, and there are some countries that have one-room houses. Nobody in this country would buy a one-room house. They'd feel cheated. They would say, that's ridiculous. All that would do is keep me out of the elements. Ha! Exactly what God intended a house to do in the first place. We're covetous. And you know, I'll tell you this, we're hardly ever attacked. You say, why? Because we're surrounded by many waters. We can see them coming. Right? I mean, if they're coming at us, did you know that if they wanted to go from Russia and come see us, there's a good chance we're going to see them coming? We've got time to pick it up. Oh, now they're getting some technology that can make it far easier. They almost have a better chance of doing it from the inside than from the outside. But it's happening. But I'm here to tell you, I think there are probably two reasons why America has withstood all these years, and we have not. We have hardly ever been attacked because we're surrounded by many waters. And another reason is we're one nation under God. First of all, you have many waters protecting us, and then we were a missionary to the entire world. And I believe God protected us because we believed the Bible and we cared about the things of God. And I think when other countries would go to attack us, there was a watch care and a mercy that God gave us. You say, but the preacher, they're beginning to get us. I know, because we're giving up on God. We kicked God out of the public schools. And now to be an old-fashioned Christian, you're maligned and mocked and teased and all of that. Yeah, our defenses are not just all about how much artillery we have. It has something also to do with spiritual artillery. Okay, now, we're going to leave Jeremiah, because I believe in those two chapters of Jeremiah, I see the possibility of America being described. I'm going to read to you from Revelation chapter 18, verse number 7. It says, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I set a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Probably in Revelation chapter 18, verse 7, I think I see the possibility of another reference of America, and it's a prophetic reference. It calls America. I think America would. I think America sets like a queen. You know, America, our country, is referred to in the female gender. We would talk about her, our nation. Here in Revelation 18:7, there's a prophecy about some nation that is referred to in the female gender. Now, you know the only major war with another country that we've ever fought on our land was with Great Britain to establish our independence. We live, by the way, deliciously or extravagantly compared to other nations. And it says here, it talks about other nations being able to get to her. You know, we feel very comfortable. And we've thought for years, we've not really known the sorrow of having war on our land. You think about how long it's been since we got our independence from England. How long has it been? Now, we had fights within our land because we're a bunch of knuckleheads. But as far as outside countries coming to get us, when Osama bin Laden did what he did, we were appalled. You know, there are other countries that go through that all the time. But we, for hundreds of years, didn't have anybody touch us. And we sat like a queen, almost to the thought that nobody can get us. Now, the Bible teaches pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But I believe there's a chance that in Isaiah 50 and 51, you see prophecy about America. I believe in Revelation chapter 18, verse number 7, you again see prophecy about America. Let me give you a couple more, and you all seem so interested. And that's one reason why prophecy is hard to teach. If I could yell and scream about something, I could keep you with me. But here we go. Let me show you something else. I think America, in the Bible, I think there's reference to, using the terminology, the young lion. I want to show you something. Take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. So number one, we looked at America in the book of Isaiah and just a touch in Revelation. Now I want to show you a reference to America. At least I believe it's about America. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 21. The Bible says this, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land." Look back at me. Ezekiel 37 describes the national resurrection of Israel. Israel's been through a lot, but God said there's coming a day when I'm going to take my people and we're going to reform that country of Jews called Israel. That happened in 1948. God prophesied it in Ezekiel 37:21. It happened in 1948. And so you all understand, that means that when God was flipping through the pages of his schedule book, remember the chronological order I gave you earlier? He had gone, you know, he was past Calvary and past the start of the New Testament church age. And now he said Israel has got to be restored as a nation. And in 1948, he grabbed that page of his calendar and he flipped it up and he said, done. Now, on God's desk is a date for the rapture. That's the next thing on the calendar. Now, here's what I want to show you. I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 38. We were just at Ezekiel 37. We're going to go to Ezekiel 38. I'm going to read from verse 1 all the way through verse 8. Here's why. We're about to hear a description of Israel being invaded. There's coming a day when countries are going to turn against Israel, and Israel will be invaded. We're about to read the prophecy about that. Now remember, Israel had to become a nation again before she could be attacked as a nation. God took care of that in Ezekiel 37. Now we go to Ezekiel 38 and we're going to see Israel being attacked. Ezekiel 38, starting with verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company, with bucklers and shields, all of them handing swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer, which I believe is Germany, and all his bands, the house of Togarmah, and of the north quarters, and all the bands, and all many people with thee, be thou prepared, and prepared for thyself, thou, and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Now look back at me. This describes a unit of countries, and they have their old world names, but so you understand, Russia's mentioned, Iran is mentioned, Ethiopia, you heard Libya, that's not a name change, Germany, Turkey, the Muslim nations are mentioned here. Now, they go to war with Israel. You say, what's going to happen? Israel wins. You say, little old Israel? Yeah, little as much when God is in it. Dynamite comes in little packages. You and God make a majority. But there's going to be a war. Israel became a nation because God prophesied that it would. Nations will rise against Israel. And at that time, Israel's going to win. You know, the prime minister of Israel was just here and spoke. And he, I was very impressed with the way he handled himself. I thought, I wonder if he wants to be president somewhere. But he made it clear. He said, America, help us. But if you don't, we're going to slap somebody silly without you. You say, he's cocky. No, he just probably read his Bible. What would I like to have that kind of insurance? Wow. Now, Ezekiel 38. I want you to look at verse number 13. Ezekiel 38, 13. Now, we're going somewhere. The Bible says in Ezekiel 38, 13, it says, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof. Look back at me. It mentions a young lion. Our mother country is what? England. What's England's crest? And it's a lion. You ever seen the Lion of England? Which would mean somebody coming out of England to establish a country then could be a cub of the lion, or they could be a young lion. Now, back to Ezekiel 38:13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? Now look back at me. I believe the young lion mentioned in Ezekiel 38:13 is in reference to America. Because our mother country is England, I think we are one of the young lions. What's another country that would be a product of England? Canada. Canada's one. They're North America. We're America. But you understand that the crest of England is that lion. And we're her cub. And what I think happens here is we speak up. I think they're going to be attacked. Israel's going to be attacked. But I think we're involved here, and the young lion is mentioned right here. Now, I'm going to give you some observations, and we're almost done. So that's time when some of you can say amen. We're almost done. Let me give you some very quick observations. First of all, Israel is God's chosen nation. The people, the Jewish people, that's God's chosen nation. Next, God promised that he would care for his chosen people because he loves them in a special way. Say why? That's God's prerogative. God can choose to do what God chooses to do, and that's what God chose to do. Now, next, all the nations of the world will eventually be judged based on their treatment of the Jewish nation or Israel. So I believe God is going to either reward countries or punish countries based on how they treat Israel. For some of you, when you're watching the national news and you hear people saying, we shouldn't be turning our back on Israel. We shouldn't be doing that. We ought to be standing with Israel. You say, why in the world would anybody say that? Because the Bible says, you attack my pet nation, you're in trouble. And I believe that. So I believe, I don't think we ought to be standing on the sideline watching. I think America ought to step up and say, you got a big brother right here. You mess with Israel, you're messing with big brother. And we have for years done that. America's done that for years. Right now, we're standing on the sideline saying, we don't want to get involved. Well, I'll tell you what. If my little brother was in a hassle, I might stand there for a moment, but I'd be right there getting ready to clean somebody's clock if they hurt my little brother. Now, Israel has something to do with the way God blesses a nation. America has been a friend to Israel through the years. And I believe that's one reason God has blessed America. The nations that attack and hurt Israel are not blessed of God like they could be, and they're in trouble with God. In the end times, there will be for what many would consider like World War III, if you will. There'll be two sides. Those two sides are labeled in Matthew 25. They call them the sheep nations and the goat nations. The sheep nations, those are the good guys, if you will. The goat nations, those are the bad guys. Those are the ones that will team up with the Antichrist. Of course, sheep, we are sheep of his pasture. He's the good shepherd. A goat is a term used in the Bible for someone that's not spiritually born again. So you virtually have a spiritual side and a non-spiritual side. Now, the good guys during that war will, and the ones that loved and helped Israel, there's a blessing in that. The bad guys, they're the ones that turn on Israel. Now, some believe that during the tribulation period that America is going to jump ship and stop defending Israel. Now, you say, well, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't happen either. But I don't know what's going on out there in politics and in America today. But if you were asking me today, are we going to stand up and defend them? I'd say right now, today, probably not. Probably not. Now, that's an opinion, which would mean if that's true, if what some people say is in the end, America is going to bail out on Israel. That means we have the potential of being bad guys in the end. I say, oh, preacher, that scares me. Well, when that happens, it's going to happen during the tribulation period, and we're out of the mess anyway. Amen. I'm watching from a white horse. You know, I'm going to get me a horse. I'm going to set the. I'm going to watch. But you say, now, again, preacher, I disagree with some things that you said. That's fine with me. You can disagree. No sense in writing me a letter or talking to me about it. You say, why? Because I don't care. I don't care. I just know this. I know the Bible's true. I know I'm born again. I know I'm going to go to heaven someday. I know that I'm not going to spend all my time dreaming about what's going to happen 20 years from now. I'm going to get busy right now and do everything I can to reach everybody that I can and help as many people as I can. Hey, did you know the more we do for Christ, the stronger our nation becomes, and the longer we extend the life of God blessing America. The key to America is not in the White House. The key to America is in the church house and at your house, and we need to turn America upside down for Jesus Christ. And I've had people say to me, Brother Owens, America's gone. I don't believe America's gone, and even if she was, I would not articulate it for a second. I want to fight with every piece of my being and to the very end to save America. And I really believe the answer is old-fashioned churches that are keeping people out of hell, doing the right thing, lifting up the Bible. We could make a difference. We could make a difference. We've glanced at some prophecy. We'll look at it from time to time. We'll spend more time, though, talking about soul winning and church building and learning the Bible so we can purify our lives so we're productive. What's going to happen in regard to these things? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You say, how am I going to get through that? Same way you get through everything else, Jesus will see you through. If you're not saved, you better get saved, because Jesus is going to come again. And if he comes again and you're not saved, you're going to get left behind. And though I wouldn't agree with everything that Hollywood predicts about being left behind in all their movies and everything, the thing you need to know, it'll be far worse than what Hollywood could ever depict. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, let's do everything we can to help America to be the country that God will bless. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question is a very simple one tonight. Are you saved? Are you saved? If you're here and you're not born again, why don't you face it and say, you know what, I need to get saved. With all that stuff that's going to happen, folks, I wish I had time to talk to you about what's going to happen during the tribulation period, but it is going to be terrible. If you don't get saved, you're going to go through it. Those of us that are saved, God will get us out of there. But is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I'm not born again, I'm not saved, pray for me, I need to be saved? All right, that means that everyone that I can see claims to be saved. Why don't you decide that you're going to do everything you can to help your country? Let's get people saved. Let's get people in the right kind of a church. Let's believe the Bible. Let's exalt it and uplift it. Let's teach it and preach it. Let's make a difference for the cause of Christ, and let's make a difference even for our country, because this is our country. And I believe that we can influence our country. Maybe God spoke into your heart. Maybe it is you just needed to hear a little bit about what the future holds. But if God has spoken to your heart, you need to come and pray. And I don't know, maybe you have a burden. Maybe you just need to come and pray for any reason. We'll open the altar so you have a moment to do so. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need time at the altar, you come. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and thank God for the people that have helped to keep your country free. Thank God for the people that have.